It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God as we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Revelation, and we're studying the 14th chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 8, and so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, and that's where we're going to begin today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Phone number, 217-847-2717. Our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com. And if you'd like to visit our website, you'll find that at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 14, beginning to read with verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made her nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And we're going to end there with that 13th verse for now. We may go into that area a little later, but right now we're going to stop right there. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time together. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us through your precious word, that we may come to know you and serve you and praise you and honor you, dear Lord. Please, that you will guide and lead us through this study today. It is so wonderful to enjoy a study of your precious word, and that we do it often and we enjoy it. And please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us if you would, please. Very special time as we're studying this area of Scripture. All your Scripture is written and recorded by you, you know, and you've used man's hand to do it, but it was literally written by you, and it all tells us about your Son, the Lord Jesus, dear Father. Thank you that you have introduced your Son to us, that we may come to know him and believe in him and by faith be saved. Thank you, dear Father. Please guide and lead us now today through this study. And those that are lost, that they'll be saved, they'll come to the cross of Calvary where you died for them. And those that are saved, that they'll grow and learn and be good witnesses for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this, we find in the 8th chapter, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Another angel. This time we can say amen, because Babylon is fallen. You know, Babylon symbolizes the ungodly world system under the Antichrist's rule. We will have a study of this in more detail in the 17th and 18th chapter, and so please, we're going to kind of move beyond what this means right now, and we're going to really spend some time a little bit later with this area. And so please, but oh, for those that were born again and saved, to say amen, because it sure was amen. And then we come on to the 9th verse there, and the third angel, and the first time in verse 8 it says another angel. And if we back up into the scripture here. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, and that's the sixth verse. Now another angel in verse 8. Now in verse 9, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." This third angel, the first angel, if you'll remember, is preaching the gospel of judgment. The second angel announces the fall of the great earth system of corruption. It's nothing but corrupt, and boy, do we see that today. Well, the second angel announces that. Now, the third angel announces the doom of the beast worshipers. And so we're coming closer and closer to the end and closer to judgment here. The angel who preaches the everlasting gospel and warns, urges inhabitants of the earth, those that dwell on the earth, to worship God who created the heaven and the earth. He comes calling for them to do that. He pleads with the people not to worship the Antichrist, the beast. But they pay no or little attention to this message. Their doom is clearly outlined in verse 10 and 11. And as we continue here, we stopped with verse 10, but let me read verse 11. "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, they will drink of the wine of the wrath of God," the scripture says. "They will be tormented with fire and brimstone," the scripture says. The torment will be in the presence of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This 11th verse, the smoke, their torment, how long will it last? This scripture verse tells us very clearly, forever and ever, eternally. For eternity, unending, no rest, day or night. Judgment is here. It's been called for, it's here. Tormented with fire, it is real fire, without question. It doesn't say like fire. The scripture is very specific and very clear. And here it says fire. Brimstone is added to the fire. Brimstone is burning sulfur. This will add heat to the blaze. It'll add heat. It'll add pain to their torment. And again, we'll be in the sight of the holy angels and the Lamb of God. There's going to be a witness to this. And the witness that stands before them is the one that gave them the way out, gave them an opportunity of salvation, and yet they surrendered and did not abide by it, did not call upon the Lord. Smoke will rise up like a fire from a mighty furnace. The fire is real. Is the smoke real? Yes, it is. Again, this torment is unending. It will last forever and ever, day and night. No rest, no rest. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not come to the cross of Calvary and called upon Him, and you choose to reject Him, you better enjoy this life. You better just spend every cent you have and just do everything that your little heart imagines. Because when you leave this earth, there will be a constant torment and there will be no rest, none whatsoever. Oh, I plead with you that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him. Through all eternity, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you'll call upon Him, you can have peace, you can have rest, you can have joy. And it is as long as the torment. It's through all eternity, forever and ever. So I ask you that you just take enough time to look at the Word of God and trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I just ask that you please, please don't miss the opportunity of salvation. And if you know the Lord Jesus, yes, you need rest, but please just rest long enough to be refreshed and then get right back to work. So many, when they get to a certain age, the age that the world says to retire, that's just what you do. But you don't just retire from your job, you retire from the Lord. And that's not the good thing to do. That's not the right thing to do. Please, get some rest, get refreshed, and let's go back to work. With these scripture verses, do we see that the wicked will be burned up? Some say yes, but the Word tells us no. The Word tells us that it is an everlasting home, an everlasting hell, and it will last for everlasting. This fire will never be put out. The smoke will forever ascend upward. In this scripture, the souls are burning day and night, yet never consumed. We know that the devil, he will join them. If we look to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, Revelation 20:10, the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, be tormented day and night forever and ever. What a sad, sad day. We have an example, and it's a wonderful example, back in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We've referenced this before. And he is in hell, and he is in hell this very moment, still begging for one drop of water to cool his blistering tongue. And we're going to go back to Luke because I want you to see this, because it is one of the clearest examples we have in the precious Word that tells us about this. And again, this is not the first time that we've looked at it, but it needs to be looked at often so that you can see it. Now I'm turning to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading with the 19th verse. Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. Not going to take me long to read it, but it's worthy of our time. So please listen carefully. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now He is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses, the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is quite a story, and it's not just a myth or a parable or anything else. It's a true story. I want you to know that it's a true story. And I want you to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. Because I don't want you to live a wonderful, beautiful life having all the glories of the world today and miss Jesus. You can enjoy a lot of the things of today. You can enjoy this God has given us this world to enjoy. But we need to be so careful that we don't love the world more than we love our God. And so please that you look to the Lord Jesus by faith and follow Him. Be saved. Be born again. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He did the complete work there. Rose again 3 days later. And all we have to do is believe. Believe in our heart. Whosoever shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, the Word tells us. Please trust in Jesus today. Please come to Him, because you're going to end up like this rich man. And maybe you didn't live a rich life. Maybe you're poor and you've lived a miserable life and you haven't had the fun things of the world, the way the world looks at them. Please don't miss Jesus, because you can spend eternity with joy and peace. And this life is just a vapor. But if you have those things and think that this is good enough and I don't want to change anything I'm doing to come by faith to Jesus, you're going to miss it. Please trust in Jesus today. Follow after Him today. And don't be as this rich man. Please. You'll notice one thing that I've always noticed here. The rich man, Lazarus died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom, and that again is in a location, a place in the center of the earth, I believe, where the Lord has kept those born again believers, those that were saved before Jesus went to the cross. Now, after the cross, I believe the Lord Jesus has emptied out this place called Abraham's bosom or paradise and taking everybody home to heaven. And now when a Christian dies, a born-again believer dies, goes right into the presence of the Lord. But the one that the rich man, now when he died, he's buried. Now that doesn't mean that his life was over, because we find the next verse, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off. You see, that time period was close. He looked at Abraham. It's possible that Abraham was in this place of paradise for 1,900 years. He was there 1,900 years waiting, and all these folks are coming. Now, this man called, said, they made the conversation back and forth that witnesses that he is a brother. So that means that he is a Jew. They're both Jews. And so this man, being religious, he still missed it. You can be religious. Don't miss Jesus. Please, don't miss Jesus. I hope that out of reading this message again, you'll realize that it's not just a myth. It's not just a story. It is a tremendous message for us to see and to know and understand that this rich man, all he wanted to do was dip his finger, that he could touch his tongue. Can you imagine that? I don't want a drink of water. Just a drop of water. That's how much he desires. So please believe this. If you don't believe in hell, this side of the grave, my dear friend, you will when you get to the other side. And that'll be a sad, sad day. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and of faith of Jesus. Now listen to this next part here in verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. This 12th verse, the Holy Spirit hastens to say, he wants to tell them, blessed are these folks. Saved folks, redeemed, are here to rejoice. Happy. As we look back to Luke, I should have had you hold your hand there because I didn't either, and so we're going to turn back to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verses 7 and 10. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The just persons are those that are so religious, or you don't think you need the Lord Jesus. I know a lot of people like that. Well, heaven rejoices over one that repents versus the 99 that do not, no matter who they are or what they are. Now, let's go down to verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Be that one sinner today, that you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. Be that one that the angels can rejoice. Join the family of God. Please, please. You know, we talk about the joy. These folks, the angels rejoice. The family of God rejoices. We need to tell of the joy in heaven. There's peace. There's rest. And then it gives us a promise here that the works do follow. So you see, those things that we do for the Lord Jesus in his precious name, all those things are recorded. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. What he had wasn't enough. It was not enough. And Nicodemus was a very religious man. His tithe was probably about 30%, 20 to 30% is what his tithe was. He worked, he served, but it wasn't enough. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. To know the Lord Jesus. To walk with the Lord Jesus. As we look at this 13th verse, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest in their labors. What a hope. Happy are the dead who die in the Lord. All believers who have died since the day of Pentecost are in heaven. All those that died before are in heaven. Let's go to a wonderful book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Let's look at a verse of scripture, a couple of verses of scripture there. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto them. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Now, we look at that and we realize that that's what the Lord Jesus did when he was raised from the dead. He went into the place of Abraham's bosom or paradise. He emptied that out and he took everybody home with him. What a wonderful day that was, and what a victory that was. And so all those that were have died after Pentecost have went straight to heaven, or after the death of the Lord Jesus. If you'll remember the thief on the cross, he said, you see, the Lord Jesus, not only his death, but he must have risen again first. And so the thief on the cross, he was held to the place of Abraham's bosom. The Lord Jesus said, I will meet you in paradise today. And so, see, immediately he went to paradise. But you and I go to heaven because the Lord Jesus has finished that work with the resurrection. And what a wonderful day that is. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 26. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul wanted to leave. He wanted to go home to be with the Lord. But the Lord showed him very clearly that it was important for him to stay and continue to work and continue to serve. You know, we looked back where the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. The righteous dead go immediately to be with the Lord. The wicked dead go immediately into a place called torment or a place called hell. You know, we're going to begin here next time. I just hope that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. We're not worthy of His salvation, but He gives it to us. All we need to do is accept that gift of salvation. Please, please trust in Jesus today. Call upon Him. I don't want you to go and be in this place of torment that we read about here. The cup of his indignation, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Please, my dear friend, trust in Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?